Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you for coming for our second event. Baruch Hashem, we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mechad Echad, Bezat Hashem, the next one will be in Yerushalayim with Rav Yossi Mizrahi. I got a lot of comments from last month's shiur that we have to go to a bigger place. So Baruch Hashem, it was a lot of Satya Dishmaya to find a bigger place that fits us and that works out with the Avira. And I went through a lot of shuls and a lot of different places, but Baruch Hashem, you never know where Hashem takes you. This is the best place to make the shul. There's no question about it. Everything's set to the Shmaya. And I got a lot of comments from people calling me from Towns River, from Hell, from Cherry Hill. People called me from Atlantic City, from all over Jersey, that they're so excited that Baruch Hashem once a month is going to be a shul from Rav Yossi Mizrahi in Jersey. So just letting everybody know that this shul is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Bezrat Hashem, the next one's shiur is also going to be here. But you should know that your mishtatef, everybody here who comes, we're going to revolutionize Jersey. Not all the shiurim have to be New York. It has to stop. Not everything is New York. You know, you could also come to Lakewood. So Bezrat Hashem, every month we're going to have a shiur, and we'll get bigger and bigger. And Rabbi Shmuel mitchazek, and it's a big, big kibbutz that Rabbi Yossi Mizrahi. Everybody should know it's a lot of mesirut nefesh. Rabbi Yossi Mizrahi to come for Muncie. He does not charge him for his tolls, for his gas. He does not even charge for a class. Do you believe? In this generation, he doesn't even charge for a class. He comes, he does it for free. Everything, the Shem Shemaim. He just came up from Eretz Yisrael. As soon as he landed from the plane, from the airport, right away he calls me up, Yaakov, osim shiur or lo osim shiur? I thought to myself, Kvod Rav, you just gave, I don't know what, 100 shiurim in Eretz Yisrael. My cousin called me up that he went to the shiur in the Shon Etzion. He's 24-7 thinking shiurim, not even charging one penny for it. So everything is Lashem Shemaim, and we should all be mechabedim and appreciate what Yosef Mizrahi does for our Kila and what Yosef Mizrahi does for Klal Yisrael. Every single Jew should appreciate what he does, and we should all learn from him to be Lashem Shemaim and only Mizrahi Lelevim.
Thank you, Yaakov. This shiur will be לרפואה שלמה of Lou Wiener and Gabriel Morial and Allegria Bat Aliza and all the other people that need רפואה שלמה, בעזרת השם. As Yaakov just said, I just came back from Eretz Israel a few days ago before Shabbat, and I really had an outstanding, amazing trip in Eretz Yisrael. Every trip becomes bigger than the previous one, Baruch Hashem. And this time, in Mamash, I felt like a little Ma'amad Har Sinai every night. Little Ma'amad Har Sinai every night. Imagine such a scene that you come to huge synagogues that they have. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have very big synagogues. It's big neighborhoods, big buildings. They have every synagogue between 500 and 1,000 people. So imagine you get there, it's already packed, and 200 people standing outside, standing, and every one of my lectures was between 2 and 4 hours that I spoke. And people were standing outside, and it's winter there, outside. It was cold at night. For instance, Yerushalayim, people standing outside in the cold for 4 hours on their feet, no chairs. And then after the lecture finished, they still waited between 2 to 4 hours to talk to me 1 minute, or to take a picture, or to just come and say, thank you very much, you saved my life. The whole family became Shomrei Shabbat from the CDs. As I always say, Hashem gave us a gift. It's a great investment. The CDs we make revolution all over the world. But we have a rule. When the Satan see that in 2 weeks every night two places were packed, and during the day we also make shiurim in different places, push as many as we can, right away the Satan fights back. So this is his job, to prevent tshuva. So as soon as I arrived to America, Baruch Hashem, Hashem organized, you know, for me a big nisayon, and this is what I decided to talk about tonight. It's amazing what's happening. This is something that's destroying our nation. The chance that it will stop, it's not that big, unfortunately. I have to be realistic. I'm not, living in a dream. This is something that is destroying our nation. And if it's not going to stop, I have a feeling that we're going to end very bad. Do you know what I'm talking about or no? It's the sinat chinam and the lashon hara on the internet that goes with everyone makes up lies and stories and fake details. And everyone curse everyone and everyone disrespect everyone. And there's no kavod for chachamim. And everyone that your opinion is a little bit different than him, right away he targets you like you're a Nazi. And the names that people call each other. And on charge of all of it is the horrible media that call themselves Haredi, which is the biggest disgrace, that they call themselves Haredim, that they open all kinds of news websites for Haredim, which are the biggest murderers in the history of the world, these Haredim. The biggest murderers, because from the secular media, what do you expect? They murder each other nonstop. That's their culture. But where in the history Haredim opened website, that on the website they will take a person, make up a whole lies about him, make a fake, complete article, they don't know 90% of the details because some anti-Torah faker send them some kind of information. They don't call to check, they don't call to verify, they don't check the details. Right away they publish it for rating, especially if this person is famous, that everybody knows him, so they're going to get a lot of rating. Why they need rating? Because rating brings money. Because they showed the people that put advertisement in their pages, look, we have 50,000 people coming every week. If they're only going to have 2,000 people a week, nobody wants to advertise. But now 50,000 people coming in, so you're going to pay us a lot more for the advertisement. So this is a massive industry, mass murderer machine, nothing greater than what the Nazis did to us, because the Nazis killed the body, but they killed the neshamot of Am Yisrael. They called themselves all different kinds of names. I'm not here to say names. I'm Evin Yavin. Basically, every media site that publish news is massive murderers. This is what it is. Because they think that only if you publish lies, you violate the rules. They don't care about publishing lies anyway. But the Torah said that you're not allowed to publish the truth. On my way here, another newspaper, because they all copy from each other. All you need is that one of them will make a lie and 20 others copy the same lie. That's how it goes, in minutes. So you don't even know anymore who's from who, or from which one you are, from which website, from which newspaper you are. So what's happening is that one lady called, I'm not saying from where, but she actually from all the thirsty blood seeker, people that are looking for blood, she was the only normal one. You can tell that she wasn't evil. And she was trying to be honest. And she checked and verified and asked questions, how exactly it was. So obviously you saw that this is finally a person that really wants to be honest. But I was a few minutes before this lecture, so I didn't have time to give her a speech of Musar. But I told my assistant here, Michael, I told him really what I should have given her a speech now. Who told her that to publish the truth is allowed? Where does it say it in the Torah? What does it mean, Lashon Hara? How many from Jews learn about Lashon Hara all their life? And somehow 90% of them have no idea what they're doing. They're doing the total opposite of what the Chafetz Chaim screamed about 100 years ago. What's the point of learning Lashon Hara, conventions, pages, and in the end everybody does the opposite. Now we're going to speak about it, and you see how we're destroying ourselves, that in the end we will be left with nothing, no Olam Haba, no nothing. The people that don't understand how serious is this problem, we won't have our nation surviving. If it's going to continue like this another few years, it will be our end, because Hashem will put us in the hand of our enemy to butcher us. Because if we butcher each other, why the Arabs wouldn't do it? If we kill each other with all this sinat chinam, why? Give me one reason why Hashem wants to save us. Why? If a father sees that his children murder each other and destroy each other, say, you know what? I don't even look at them anymore. This is the kind of children that I have. So listen to this. They come twisting the entire truth of the Torah. Who told you that you're allowed to publish news? Publish news about Jews? So the truth, it's true. One person stole $1 million from a bank. Where does it say in the Torah you're allowed to publish it to a million people? Where? Especially when he wasn't even tried. And where is he going to be tried? By Goyim. Even if he was convicted by Goyim, you're not allowed to publish it. It's not Bidin Torah. It's not Al-Pi Shnei Edim. This is massive murder. This is massive murder. 100% murder. But not murder of one. It could be murder of his whole family, murder his student, murder of his parents. This is mass murder machines. And I don't understand. I mean, I'm not Gadol, I'm not nothing. But I don't understand, where is the Gdole Ador? How does that they allow such website to exist? I don't understand it. Maz, everyone goes on the website and comments, and they allow all the comments. People write such lies, such comments, and spread it to thousands of people. You can lose your reputation in an hour, and nobody say anything. How these websites exist? You tell me, give me one reason where, according to the Torah, you're allowed to keep this website on. Ze mamash, mamash, a spiritual holocaust. So let me give you an example how it works. As you all know, Baruch Hashem, I have two rules that is by me always working. What is it? One rule is, כאשר יענו אותו, כן ירבה וכן יפרוץ. The more people fight me against what I say in the lectures, and I say the truth of the Torah, and I say it as it is, without sugarcoating anything, without the baloney, without the politics, more and more people hate to hear it. That's a very simple. You speak about Chilul Shabbos, people that break Shabbat, they get angry. I'll give you one example. 2 years ago, I made a lecture. I said, if a person's father died, or mother, and they are Michalel Shabbos, that when they say Kaddish, what makes them think that their Kaddish will help their parents? They break the rules of the Torah. They don't keep Shabbat. They don't eat kosher. They don't know anything. What is this hypocrisy? You stand in front of the boss of the world when you violate his rules non-stop every minute of your life. And now when your father died, you come and say, "Itgadal v'itkadash merabah, how great you are, God." He doesn't need your praises. He needs you to listen to him. The Torah says, listen to me. Don't give me compliments. Don't give me sacrifice. I'm not interested in your sacrifices. I'm interested in your tshuva. So I said, pay money to someone who is Shomer Shabbat. Make him a shaliach. Say Kaddish. You have the mitzvah. You are Mechalel Shabbat. What is your Kaddish going to help? Wow, I had to see what they did. Making video, mockery, jokes, petitions. Today, as you all know, there was a very famous comedian and actor in Israel. His name is Dudu Topaz. You heard about him or no? He was like the Dave Letterman in America, something like that, in case you know who I'm talking about. After all, I'm in Lakewood here. We're not supposed to know, you know? But he was the king of the night shows in Israel for about 30 years, at least 30 years. Everybody knows, most famous one, had shows, you know, comedies, interviews, stuff. What happened to him after he stopped being famous? You know, eventually every star is not going to shine forever. And the new generation of comedian took over. We learn a lot from this, what happened to him. He just couldn't tolerate the fact that he's not on top of the pyramid as he used to be for 30 years. So every show he wanted to push himself in, your time is over. Over there, you know, they tell you in your face, listen, your time is over, don't bother us. But I was the king. Who are these guys that you're putting in, 22, 23? Well, I forgot already, they still don't know. Listen, don't waste our time. You can't be on our channel. Next one, you cannot be on our channel. So he saw he has basically nothing else to do. So what did he do? He paid money to some guy to go and beat up the woman that she's making the decision who's going to be on the show and who's not. That's what he did. They somehow found out the police, they arrested him, they put him in jail, and he was a very fancy person. And obviously a person with this status, to put him in jail with all the criminals, that was already a very big shock for him. And what happened? The poor guy, after a day or two, he committed suicide. That's how this sad story ends. And that was, if I remember, about a year or two ago, something like that. So he's, maybe more, I mean, I'm not keeping up the dates. Maybe a few years, maybe 3-4 years, whatever. Anyway, he's been already dead for a few years. And today, they published in Israel that a group of people that made a seance to his soul. You know, according to the Torah, you're not allowed to communicate with the dead people. It's a violation of the Torah. The Torah says, "Lo yeh b'chashoel ovi idoni v'doresh el hametim." You're not allowed to communicate with the dead people. Three different ways to do it. None of them is allowed. It's a violation of the Torah. But when you deal with a bunch of soldiers, they're 19, 20 years old, they're completely secular, they never even heard that it's a restriction to call the souls. So what do? They put a board, they put a glass with candles, they shut the lights, they begin to call the souls until the soul comes to the room and they begin to move the glass. And on the boards, they have all the alphabet. It begins to move. The glass begins to move. It's a fact. Millions of people doing it. It's called seance in Hebrew. They did seance to him. They called him to the seance and his spirit came. And they ask him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm in a very bad place. I suffer a lot." They ask him, the soldiers, "Can we help you?" They ask him, "Can we help you in any way?" He told them, "No." Oh, they said, "We want to do something for your soul. Can we help you in any way? Tell us what to do." He said to them, "No. None of you can help me." They ask him why. He said, "Because all of you are wicked people." They ask him why we are wicked. He told them, "Because you all mechalel Shabbos. Nothing you can do for me." Exactly like I said. Exactly. What did I say? No. Nothing new here. Everyone who knows the violation of the rules of the Torah, you cannot come to praise Hashem and spit at him at the same time. It doesn't work like this. You either praise me or you spit on me. It's not going to be both together. Choose where you want to be. So this is an example. So here you go. So what happened? Today we have crooks. Professional crooks. What do? They see something that you speak about that they don't like. It bothers them very much that the truth is being told to the whole world. Sometimes they are the one who violate the crimes that the speaker speaks about. So they decide to do something. What do? They cut from 25 or 30 minutes that you speak. They cut the beginning, they cut the end. They only choose a minute or two and they write a headline. Usually the headlines, that's the one who makes the propaganda. Because people don't listen. And even the people that listen, they don't understand what they hear. I see it all the time. And what did they write? Rabbi Mizrahi denies that there were 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. Right the way, Rabbi Mizrahi, Abu Mazen, Ahmadinejad, you know, they're the same group. That's their agenda. Listen to this. Rabbi, now to make it sound good and selling, and the propaganda should be successful. They write first, a popular Kiruv Orthodox, you like to bash all the Orthodox group of people in one shot together, let's drown everyone, is claiming only 1 million Jews died in the Holocaust. That's what they write. What was the truth? First, it's a lecture from years ago, nothing new. And they write in the newspaper that it was from last Tuesday. It's from years ago. Years! Before I had gray hair. Look at the video. Maybe I had few back then. You know? So that's from years ago. Now let's start with this scam. Oh, first of all, we talk about something a long, long time ago. Second, what was the topic of the lecture? Here you see how people can murder using tricks, and everyone falls into the trap and sink to them, together with them in a Gehenom in the end. In 1 second, how he can bring 100,000 people to lose their Olam Haba. In a minute. What was the topic of the lecture? The assimilation, the intermarriage. We're living in the United States, 58, some say 64, some say 70%. It's different information. I go for the lowest one. 58% of American Jews marry non-Jews. They don't even know that it's not allowed to marry non-Jews from the Torah. And it's been going on for how long? More than 100 years. Meaning 5 generations at least, maybe 6, maybe 7. Only Hashem knows. Generations that it's happening right here. The reform movements, conservative, the secular Americans. All kinds, and sometimes very, very, very unlikely, but it sometimes even happened to some religious people, believe it or not. And it's been going on, and that's called the silent Holocaust. Same thing happens in Europe now. In every country you go, besides Panama, that over there you only have 1 to 2% intermarriage. All the other countries, even in Israel, it's very high intermarriage rates. In Israel, with the Arabs, with the Russian goyim that came, it's a massive amount of intermarriage. Meaning the Jewish nation destroy itself. You don't need Iran, you don't need Hamas, you don't need Hezbollah. This is threats. They cannot destroy us. We, the only one, can destroy ourselves. That's what the Torah said. Me'arsayich u'machrevayich memech yetzu. Yetzu. Meaning the only one that destroyed you is you. If you destroy yourself, the goyim will do the job, obviously. But it's up to you what you're going to do. So, because of the situation right now, many of the people in the United States that their last name is Jewish, they actually, according to the Torah, they're not Jewish. Because the father was Jewish, but the mother wasn't. So 3 or 4 brothers, they're all non-Jewish. Not that they're bad people. They can be wonderful people. They can be lovers of Israel. They can be Zionists. Can be anything you want. Nobody speaks bad about them. But they're not Jewish. That's all. That's all we're saying here. They're Jews and they're non-Jews. That's it. Even the reform movements that promote intermarriage with no shame, and some conservative that also promote it, they, according to them, it doesn't matter. We don't go by the mother. We have our own rules. What Orthodox and the Torah say, it's their problem. We modify the rules. It doesn't matter. If one of your parents is Jewish, it's okay for us. Let me ask you a question. If that's the rule, then the entire 7 billion people on the world should be Jewish. Because do you know in the last 2,000, 3,000 years how many people marry one Jew and 1,000 came out of that marriage? Based on that, half of the world is Jewish. Because even today now, if you take all the families in the world that one of the parents is Jewish, right away you have hundreds of millions of Jews. But when you ask the reforms and the conservative and the secular American or European how many Jews are in the world, they're not going to say 500 million. They're going to say 13 million. That's the statistics everywhere. So in one hand they claim it's okay, one of the parents is fine. But on the other hand, when you ask them how many Jews are in the world, they say 13 million. How? It's a contradiction. Make up your mind. If one is enough, then you have 500 million Jews in the world. But it's not in your list, it's not written 500 million people. You yourself admit that it's only 13 million based on the Orthodox facts. What the Orthodox claim, not what you claim, what the Orthodox people claim. So that's one problem we have to deal with. The second problem is, they take a part of what I'm speaking for about 25 to 30 minutes. I spoke in that lecture a few years ago, and I said like this. Since Moses Mendelssohn, 220 years ago, when all his sons married non-Jews, 220 years ago, when the Haskalah movement started in Europe, an Orthodox rabbi moved into a college. Within 10 years, his son started to marry non-Jewish women. and they all converted to Christianity. Just think about that family alone. I don't know how many sons he had. 2, 3, 4, whatever it was. Multiply it today, 220 years later. That alone can be 10,000 people or 20 or 50,000 people. We don't know how many children they had. But after 220 years ago, there could be right now thousands of people that should have been Jewish, but who knows what they are. Some yes, some not. Depend who they marry, the descendants. So I say for 150 years in Europe, they're intermarriage. So when the Holocaust started, I said, I don't know how many of the 6 million Jews, according to the Torah, were really Jewish. Maybe 5 million, I say. Maybe 3 million. And here I made my mistake. I say maybe 1 million. That's not realistic. It cannot be 1 million because in Poland alone, there had 3 million Jews that were murdered, and in Poland, there were no intermarriage almost at all. Why? Even the secular Polish people didn't marry Goyim. Why? Because they hated them so much, there were anti-Semitism there, and they were looking at them as ignorant, as second or third class citizen. So even secular and secular don't want to get married. Oh, you're Jew, I don't want to get married to you, regardless of religion. Even if the Jew agree, they didn't agree. That part I didn't know a few years ago when I said the lecture. I didn't know that in Poland it was different. Poland and in some places in Russia, it was really different than Germany, Austria, and some other countries. So when I said clearly maybe, I say I don't know, I say we will never know. I said all these words. I didn't come to say a fact that I know and I have the statistic. I can tell you exactly how many of the 6 million were Jewish and how many were not. I say clearly, I don't know. But they cut everything I say. They cut that I say maybe 5, they cut it out. They cut the part that I say maybe 3, they cut it out. They cut the fact that I say later, we will never know. Obviously, I admit that I don't know. I'm not claiming that I know. They cut that part also. They only kept the part that I say 1 million, and they made a headline that I came and say it as a fact. Do you understand how the media works? In this case, the media did not make the video. It's one of these anti-Torah people who fights me for years already. Everything I say, they have something to say. They don't listen to what the Torah says. They don't care. So they send it to the media, and the media right away publish it. So when a non-religious newspaper publishes it, obviously we're not surprised. They do it all the time. Nothing is news here. Well, when a website that is considered one of the important of the Haredi world copy it from the secular website, word by word, the way they put it, with intention to destroy the religion, with intention to destroy tshuva, an Orthodox website take it and put it on their page to get rating that they can sell more commercials on the blood of a person that gave 21 years of his life to save so many thousands of Jews. If this is not a Holocaust, what is in our days? You tell me. That's, we destroyed each other. That's it. That's what's going on here. If this will continue, don't be surprised when our end will be more bitter than you can imagine. I say what I have to say. You want to hear me? Fine. You don't want to hear me? Don't hear me. At least I know when I come in front of Hashem, I say, you can say whatever you want about me. One thing you cannot say, that I didn't say your truth. I said everything. Whatever you wrote in the Torah, I said. Whatever the Rambam said, I said. Whatever the Ramchal say, I say it. What Shulchan Aruch say, I say it. I don't make up things. Anyway, after I saw Chas V'Shalom, what's going on, when so many people do Chilul Hashem and curse and start cursing each other, I say, even though I never had any malicious intention, obviously I didn't have any intention to offend any Holocaust survivor or to Chas V'Shalom put Jews that died in the Holocaust down. Every fool knows that that wasn't the intention. But of course, that's how they try to push it and sell it. So I published an apology. Published an apology. You had to see the hypocrisy of the people. After I published the hypocrisy, after I published the apology, I explained what I just told you, plus I say I'm sorry if anyone got offended, it wasn't the intention. People that sent me
the worst curses you can imagine. You cannot even hear it. And they call themselves religious. Right away, they send the next few hours. That's a good start. Now I'm holding of you. I became the hero all of a sudden. 5 hours earlier, I was ready to chop my head off. But as soon as I apologize, you put your ego down. We put you down. Very good. So now you're a friend. That's okay. After we butchered you, no problem. We're willing to accept you. You understand the hypocrisy here? Nobody knows what they're doing, Bechlal. So I want every one of you to know. It's a strict violation to enter any news website, even if they call themselves Haredim. No permission to read what they write. If they write about war in the world, terrorism, obviously there's no sin here, because they describe the news. I wish that was the only thing over there, but that's not the case. If a Jew is arrested, right away they write about him, the whole story, and many times they make innocent mistakes. Not all the time the mistakes are intentional, but people make mistakes, because it's very difficult to check all the details. It's enough that one detail they forgot to mention, or they added an extra detail, it changed the entire story. It makes a person from guilty to not guilty, or from non-guilty to guilty. Not only it's not allowed to read it, because that's Lashon Hara, that's Rechilut. That's what the Torah, I'm going to read to you how many sins we're going to make every time we enter this website. That you don't come in front of Hashem and say, where are these 100 billion sins that I have in my file came from? I was a from Jew. I went to learn Daf Yomi every day. I went to 3 times to shul. I gave a lot of tzedakah. I walked with yarmulke and tzitzit and had a nice beard. How can it be that I have 100 billion sins? How can it be? The answer is, every day you went 10 times on the news and read what they read about this rabbi and against this guy and against this woman and against that and this, and then all the comments of all the wicked people and all their curses and some of the stories that I wrote over there you believed, and some of it you passed to other people and you forwarded to other people, and you actually murdered that person even more by spreading the bad lies about him. What do you expect? You expect to have Olam Haba? Who are you fooling? The Torah is 1,000,000% precise and strict. You're going to be Motzi Shem Ra. You're going to make up lies about people. Alilot Dam. This is Avel Shezoek LaShamayim. This is the worst crimes in Judaism. The worst crimes. The Torah say the first Bet HaMikdash was destroyed for Shfichut Damim, Avodah Zarah, and Gilui Arayot. For murders, for all kinds of idolatry and forbidden relation, and for idol worshipping. There were 3 crimes in Judaism. And the second one was destroyed for Sinat Chinam and Lashon Hara, and was never rebuilt. The first temple was rebuilt 70 years later. Hashem gave another chance. 3 violations, the worst one of the Torah, and Hashem gave a chance right away? After 2 generations? Yes. After the destruction because of Lashon Hara and Sinat Chinam between Jews to Jews, 2,000 years it was not built. And I tell you something, based on the way that things are today, I don't see any chance it will get ever rebuilt. For whom? For people to kill each other? Imagine if we had Bet HaMikdash today, and people would come here. My Rebbe will lead. No, my Rebbe would lead. Your Rebbe is nothing. Your Rebbe is a loser. Your Rebbe is a Rasha. Do you remember what he said 5 years ago? No, your Rebbe is a Rasha. Forget what they wrote about him in this website. You didn't read? Come, let me forward you the email. They're going to stand there in front of the Mizbeach in Bet HaMikdash and murder each other, and a fire will come from heaven and burn Bet HaMikdash before we even do the grand opening. Unfortunately, that's what would happen. What do you think would happen? Who are we fooling? Let me read to you how many violations we can do by listening to these lies and Lashon Hara. Listen to this, you'll be shocked now. Chafetz Chaim. It's a valid source, right? Chafetz Chaim. There are 2 sources in Judaism that were expert in Lashon Hara. One is Chafetz Chaim. Who's the second one? Rabbeinu Yonah. They were expert. They put many years of their life into this topic. Sometimes you can be a very big chacham in Torah, in halacha, in shechita, in ribit, interest, in many, many different fields in the Torah. This is your specialty. Oh, go to this rabbi, he's an expert in business. Very good. Go to this rabbi, he's an expert in Shabbos. Everything you can think, mukzeh, this, he knows everything. That's his specialty. Go to this rabbi, he's dinema monot, he's a dayan. And sometimes you have an expert in Lashon Hara. Very difficult because there are thousands of scenarios here. Thousands of scenarios. It's one of the hardest things in the Torah to know when it's Lashon Hara, when it's Motzi Shem Ra, when you're allowed to say, when you're not allowed to say, in Shiduchim, when two people want to open a business together, when it's a man, when it's a woman, in this particular situation, when there is money lost, when it's a non-Jew, when it's a Jew that is not Shomer Shabbos. Do you know how many different scenarios you have and how many different laws? And what do you think? Everything is black and white. There's also some arguments. Just like everywhere else. Let me read to you how many violations we make in one comment that we read on the internet or that we post in the internet. Let's see how many violations from the Torah. Isurim deoraita, not the Rabbanan, deoraita. How many in every time we comment against someone in the internet or we read their garbage and their nonsense and their gossip and their lies and even the truth. Even when they write the truth. It's also forbidden from the Torah to write the truth about somebody. And if you read it, and if you go and say it to other people, you become Olech Rachil. Let's see how many. You get the shock of your life right now. And then you tell me if this website has the right to exist after this. Multiply by how many people goes every day into the website, how many millions of violations that make Hashem so upset are happening in the Haredi world. Forget about the secular world. Over there it's 100 times worse. I'm talking about our world right now. That we think that we are perfect and we all tzaddikim. Listen to this. 31 different restrictions, aseh velo taaseh, that involve with Lashon Hara. Every time you speak Lashon Hara, it's a potential, not always. Sometimes it's 27, sometimes it's 25, depend. But how many sins from the Torah we do every time we do it or when we hear it? First one, lo telech rachil be'amecha. You hear a story, true, 100% true. You know, this guy, he canceled the shiduch. You know why? In the last minute he found out that the father of the girl that said that he's going to buy him this and this and that is not so rich after all. It was a lie. What's the big deal? You have no intention to destroy anyone. You come tell your friend and you tell the other friend. You tell, what is it their business? Why do they have to know about the father of the bride? It's against the Torah. Lo telech rachil be'amecha. Listen to this. It's love that speaks about Lashon Hara and Rechilut. Why does it call Rachil mi Lashon Rochel? What's Rochel? Rochel, it's a person that is selling. He goes from one person to another to sell his merchandise. You want to buy this? You want to buy, you know? He goes in the street. I have this. You interested? And that's called Olech Rachil. And he goes from one place to another to sell his merchandise. Same thing, a person that speaks Lashon Hara. Second violation, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. Don't hear anything because you don't know to tell the difference between the truth and the lie. You were not there. There's so many people you have to ask, witnesses to investigate. Since you will never know who say the truth, you're not allowed to listen. You're not a Dayan. Dayan is allowed to listen to two witnesses. If only one comes, you're not allowed to listen. If one person comes to the Dayan and says, I have a testimony to give, say, where is the second witness? We have a second witness? No, don't open your mouth. And I'm not allowed to let you talk. You can only talk if there's another witness. If you hear a testimony of one, you're already violating many rules of the Torah. So, since we do not know and we will not know and we don't have the time to make an FBI investigation what really happened there, we're not allowed to begin to listen. Every time somebody comes to tell you a story about something, don't be curious. This curiosity will kill not only the cat. It will kill a lot more than a cat. You have to be very careful. I don't want to hear. I have to tell you a story about this guy or about this girl. I'm not interested. Please don't start. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, you're so boring. You're never interested to talk. Yes, I don't want to talk about people. Talk to me about other things. Say Dvar Torah. Very good. Talk to me about the parasha. Very good. Talk to me about business. Fine. Don't talk to me about people. Nothing. Even the truth. Even simple thing. Sometimes even compliments. Why? After he give 5-6 compliments, but. There's always a but. It's a great guy, and he's this, and he's sensitive, and he's looking nice, and he has Baruch Hashem, a lot of Yirat Shamayim. You know, but there's always, no one is perfect. You know how it is. And then the list begins. And then if you answer back and he gets angry, now he say more things. And this person that he started with compliments ended up butchered to pieces. That's usually how it is. Check. Always like this. There's always a but. In America, what's the catch? You're waiting. No, this is good. This is good. This is good. So where the hidden cost? There's no hidden cost, only this. And then you begin to see what's going on. Third one, Ishamer benega tzarat lishmor meod lasot. Tzarat, leprosy. Who gets leprosy? Someone that speaks bad. Lashon hara, rechilut. Be very careful. Four, lifnei iver lo titen michshol. When you come to speak Lashon Hara to a person, immediately when you open your mouth, from the first sentence, you put a trap in front of a blind man. Why? Curiosity, it's human nature. It's like putting $500 cash in front of a thief and leave the room. It's not fair. Even this is a violation of the Torah. Did you know that? If you know you have a friend, he has a habit to steal. He can't overcome his desire to steal. You don't leave him alone next to the cash register and leave the store and come back 5 minutes later. You don't do it. If you do it and he stole, you actually have a part of the crime. What does it have to do with me? I didn't want him to steal. You have to use your head. You don't put heroin in front of an addict. You don't give money to a drug addict. You need food? Come, let me buy you food. Money you cannot get. It's a crime to give a drug dealer, a drug addict money. Because you already know what he's going to do with his money. To take another 10 minutes of his life. Or maybe 10 years of his life. Food, I'll get you. Clothes, you don't have what to wear, you're freezing, let me buy you a coat. Give you money? No. Can I give you money? Same thing, you don't give money to a gambler. Gambler wants a loan, you're not allowed to give him a loan. Even if he gives you his house as collateral. Here, I'll sign my house to you. You give me $100,000, you get it next month. I promise you, I'm closing a deal, you get your money back. Here, I'll give you my house as a collateral. And you know he's a gambler. You're not allowed to give him the money. You give him the money, he's going to lose it tonight. He's going to be on the street. How are you going to sleep at night? Because you wanted to take his home? You call yourself a Jew? How can you call yourself a Jew? Bechlal, Shomer Mitzvot. Fifth one, Yishamer lecha pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha. Be very careful, because every time you commit a crime, you automatically forget Hashem. If you remember Hashem, would you commit a crime? If you're about to open your mouth and speak against a person. If Hashem was right in front of you, you see now the Shekhinah is. And he said, my son, I'm here. Don't forget that. Be careful. Yeah, Hashem, I'm so sorry. Wow. I didn't even think to open my mouth, Bechlal. So when you talk, automatically you forget about Hashem. Sixth one, Lo techalelu et Shem Kodshi. Every lashon arayitz chilul Hashem. Whether you speak to one person individually, whether you speak to a group of people, so it's a bigger chilul Hashem, And if you post it online in some website and thousands reading it every hour and they add more salt and pepper to the story, how many years you're going to suffer for that 1 minute? Isn't it a shame? I hope that some people will be clever after this lecture finally to stop this. Don't open, don't write anything, don't comment. You like it, fine. You don't like it, be quiet. Nobody ask your opinion. You're not Mevaker HaMdina. You know what Mevaker HaMdina means? In Israel, they have a guy, he's a judge. He has a job. He has to go from one office to another of the government and check for corruption. So he has a team of people. They come today to this office. Come, show us the papers. Let's see what you do right and wrong. Democracy. They want to check if everything is right. That's called Mevaker HaMdina. Nobody nominates you to be Mevaker HaMdina of Hashem. That you have to comment on everything that a rabbi say, or everything a teacher say, or everything a politician say. What do you need to comment for? Where does urge come from? That everyone thinks is the Rambam. You're not the Rambam. You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not Rav Eliashiv. You're not Rav Shach. Not everything you have to comment. You listen. Finished. Better not to go in. Next thing. So the seventh one, besides the Chilul Hashem, right away you violate the rule, לא תסנה את אחיך בלבבך. Soon as you write a comment against someone, you feel horrible hatred to him. Ah, if I could, I'd kill this guy. I'd kill this woman. Ah, I wish I was there now. This hatred is a violation from the Torah. Worse than eating pork. Worse. Because on eating pork, it didn't say that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. I'm sure 2,000 years ago there were people who were eating not kosher. It didn't start today. There were people, but Beit HaMikdash wasn't destroyed for that. Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinat Chinam and Lashon Hara. Remember this. And it was never rebuilt. And no other sin, it says that it's equal to murder, to idol worshipping, and forbidden, horrible, intimate relationship in a family, Gilui Arayot. No other sin is equal to all three. No other sin. Only Lashon Hara. Next one, Lo Tikom, and another one, Lo Titor. Two more sins. Lo Tikom, Lo Titor. Tikom, it's revenge. Titor, it's also revenge, but different kind of revenge. What does it mean, Lo Tikom? Somebody borrowed from you something. You came to borrow from him. He said, I don't have. I don't have for you. I don't have. Can I borrow a plier from you? I'll give it to you in 10 minutes. No, I don't have. Tomorrow he comes. Can I borrow a hammer from you? I need a hammer. You say, here. Remember, I'm not like you. I ask you, you didn't want to give me, but I'm not like you. Take it. And he took it. You gave it to him. It's a violation from the Torah, worse than eating chazir, worse. It's a serious sin. Nekama, lo tikom. Not worse, the same. Both of them is so doraita. Lashon Hara is worse than eating chazir. Lo tikom, only Hashem knows what's worse. But it's isur doraita, 100%. What does it mean, lo titor? It's in the same verse. Lo tikom is one sin, lo titor it's another sin. Titor means... Tikom means you don't give it to him. The first one, he didn't want to give it to you, he comes to you and says, I don't have for you. That's Tikom. Titor means you give it to him, but you see, I'm not like you. You give it to him, and it's still a violation from the Torah. So how many we have so far? 9. The 10th one, לא יקום עד אחד באיש לכל נעבון ולכל חטאת. As soon as you say something, did you hear what this guy did? Were you testifying in court now? The court invited you with another witness to give your testimony? No. So you're giving a testimony as a one witness. One witness, the Torah said. It's right away a violation of the Torah. לא יקום עד אחד באיש לכל עוון ולכל חטאת. You're not allowed to publish an intentional sin of another Jew and non-intentional sin of another Jew. If you do, right away it's another sin. Besides the Lashon Hara, you already have 10 here. 11th, לא תהיה אחרי רבים לראות. When you sit in the internet and start debating people and listen to all their lies and Lashon Hara, and even when they say the truth, automatically you fall into this, לא תהיה אחרי רבים לראות. Don't follow the evil people and join them. מתחבר לרשעים, it's already a violation. You see a group of people, they're making a crime right now against Hashem, you're not afraid to join them? Even if you don't, you're not there to make a crime, no. But you're just sitting there and watching them what they do. Huh? What are you doing? You go to a mixed wedding. You have no intention to dance. You're religious. You're not going to dance with the women over there, and definitely not your wife. But you're standing there while they're doing it. Very big chilul Hashem. First they see you, kippah, your wife, religious. What kind of religious is this? They come to participate in Sodom and Gomorrah party? That's religion? It's big chilul Hashem. But even if it was not chilul Hashem, even let's say you came without your kippah, you came with a baseball hat, and your wife had her blonde shaitel all the way to the floor. So nobody really knows that she's Jewish. She looked like the actress from the movies. So you came, you put your show, she put a nice gown. Nobody knows she's religious. You cover it very well. So technically it's not Chilul Hashem, because nobody knows. But it's this crime. לא תהיה אחרי רבים לראות. You're making Hashem very upset. 12, לא יהיה כקורח וכעדתו. That's another violation. If there are machloket, people fighting and arguing back and forth, cursing, insulting each other, you fall into this category of Korach and Adato. 13th, לא תונו איש את עמיתו. Ona'a, there are two kinds of ona'a. There's ona'a, deceiving, meaning stealing money, cheating. It's great product, you should buy it. It's very good. You will love it. I bought few of them, they're wonderful. None of it is true, it's all lies. Oh yeah, yeah, even a goy. You're not allowed to tell a goy, it's fantastic, you should get it, you're gonna love it. It's ona'a, you're not allowed. That's called ona'a with business. Ona'at kesef. Ona'at dvarim means you tell people things, you deceive them with words, not money. You don't steal money from them. But you upset them with your mouth. Lo tonu ish et amito. Levazot, to put people down, to call them names, to insult them, to remind them their previous sins. What, you became a rabbi now? You forgot who you used to be 20, 30 years ago? Who are you to preach to us? How do you dare to give us lectures? You don't even have a beard. When you have a beard, come be a rabbi. All this kind of speaking, it's violation from the Torah. Look how many sins we can make without realizing. If you put in front of a person here in a city of Lakewood, a huge piece of pork, and call with your microphone, "Dear Lakewood residents, all of you can eat my amazing barbecue pork. You never tasted something like this. It's on the house. Come, as much as you want for free." One person would show up. You know, all Lakewood, one person would show up. Come, give me 5 pounds of pork. For free? Yes, for free. Give me the whole thing. Anyone here in Lakewood would come? No, huh? This is a lot worse. One sentence, it's like a factory of porks. Not 5 pounds. Yeah, that's the truth. Next, or sometimes you tell him, "Oh, you came from this country? You Moroccan? You Ashkenazi? You Hasid? You Yemenite? Ugh, poor guy." That's also a violation from the Torah. Whatever, even if it's shtuyot what you say, what does it have to do where he came from? It's nonsense, racism, stupidity. But you make him upset.
and this person is feeling bad in his heart.
לא תונוי שאת אמיתו. So how many sins we have about one sentence that we say or write in the internet or read? How many? 13 already.
But the list is much longer.
14th. ולא תישא עליו חטא. You're not allowed to embarrass a person to get him shame. Even when you want to improve him from committing a crime against Hashem, you're not allowed to tell it to him in front of people. Not online, not in the media. If you want to send him a message, it has to be a private email or a private message that nobody else reads it. Public figures, you're not allowed to send it to their Facebook private message. Why? Because they have people that work for them. You don't have permission that his assistants would read. You write to you want to write to him something that you want him to fix. You either call him to the side face to face, and there are rules how to do it, or you send him an email, Mr. Such and Such, is this email is only you because I want to write to you something that I only want you to read. And after he confirms, then you're allowed to send him what your criticism is. I heard you saying such and such, I disagree with you, I'll prove to you wrong. How do you dare to do such, to say such a thing? Yeah, talk to him like a human being, like an animal that barks, like a human being. We already forgot how to be human being. That's one of our main problems in today's generation. So, if you talk to him in front of people, or talk about something that, come on, you forgot how many bottles of beer you had the other night? Why are you saying it in front of people? Maybe he didn't want his wife to hear. Maybe his father now heard it and he's got very upset. Maybe other people look at that as a bad thing. There could be so many bad things coming out of it. What is it? ולא תישא עליו חטא. 14 crimes already against Hashem in one sentence. 15. Now it's conditional. If this person is yatom, is an orphan, he lost his mother or his father, or if it's a widow, her husband died, she's alone now, raising some children, she's already desperate and upset in her life. Therefore, it makes her extra sensitive. Why the Torah is extra sensitive to orphans and widows? Because they are miserable people. Yesterday, they were the happiest in the world, and today the father died, and these kids are crushed for the rest of their life, perhaps. The Torah say, be extra careful with them. They don't have the amount of tolerance that an average person has. They're very sensitive. Every small world, it's a huge crime in my eyes. If they scream to me with tears, you're done. I'm done with you. Be very careful. So now you write against someone. How do you know maybe his father died a week ago? Maybe her husband just died. So many maybes here. If it is, it's another one. That would be 16. Next one. לא תחניפו את הארץ. As soon as you give a compliment to a wicked person, such as the one that writes these articles, the editor of those websites, the people that brought the story, the people that cut the video, the people that publish the news, someone that put a link and tell you where you can find the entire story, and you tell them, thank you, I appreciate it, you're great for bringing out the truth, all kinds of nonsense like this, immediately you violated another rule of the Torah. What is it? לא תחניפו את הארץ. Don't kiss up to the wicked people. When someone commits a crime and you give him a compliment, immediately you fell in a violation of לא תחניפו את הארץ. Besides kissing up, there's another word in English for that or no? Flattering the wicked people. Oh, it's so nice to see you in shul on Shabbat. Why are you telling him this nonsense? Don't you see he just came out of his car, he drove the car? He just made 1 million violations of driving the car in Shabbat. Each second is a violation that is the worst crime in the Torah. Isur karet. Mechalel Shabbat mot yumad v'nichreta ha'nefesh ha'im Yisrael. that soul gets cut out of my nation for eternity. This person just committed a karet crime, and you give him a compliment, and you make him sit in front of you and say, tap on his shoulder, make sure every Shabbat you come. But you know he's going to come with a car. Take him to the side. Reuven, first of all, I want you to know, it's very nice you're thinking to come to shul. But there is a serious problem which I have to explain to you. The Torah says, "Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvotechem." You're not allowed to create fire on Shabbat. The only time you're allowed is life risk and nothing else. Even to come to shul is not allowed. Even if you will never see the shul once in 70 years, it's still not allowed. It's a horrible crime against Hashem to create fire on Shabbat. Don't ask why right now. We don't understand all these brilliant decisions and reasons. We're not God. We don't understand. But it's clearly 12 times in the Torah to break Shabbat is a horrible punishment. Please, if you have no place to stay, come stay by us. We'll find you someone in the neighborhood that you can host you for Shabbat. No, Rabbi, I can't because after the shul I'm going to work. I start to work at 12. They're naive. Sometimes they're very naive. They're not malicious. They're not bad. They just don't know anything. Rabbi, I'm going to work. I can't. I have to come with my car because from here I go to work. So what do you tell him? I cannot give you permission to come to the shul with a car. It's against Hashem. I'm the rabbi here. My job is to teach Torah, not to make a club that everybody comes and drink l'chaim. That's not the purpose of this. We come to do mitzvot here. As soon as you begin to give him compliments and you keep him with the sin, there is no end to your punishment for that, for flattering the wicked people, because he's going to stay the way he is perhaps for the rest of his life. And when he dies, you're going to pay the price for all his sins, because if you spoke to him, and it happens to me thousands of times, that I came and spoke to the person, and sometimes 10 minutes was enough. Really? I didn't know it. How come no one told me before? Can you show me where it is? Okay, yeah, I'll show you. Come. Look, see over here? Mot yumat. Mot in this world, yumat in the next world. V'nichreta ha-nefesh. Hashem cuts that soul out of his eternity. Do you want to be cut for eternity? For driving the car on Shabbat? I love you. That's why I show you the truth. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I knew. I just gave a lecture in Israel about Shabbat. 4 hours in Chulon. There was one entertainer. He writes all the songs that Israelis are crazy about. He's the writer. He has a brilliant mind. Very famous. Every day he's on television, in the, you know, entertainment channels. He's been listening to me for a year, but still was coming to shul sometimes with a car or drive to places. After I show all the sources of Shabbat, 2 o'clock a.m., he sent me a text, and he said to me, "You finished me tonight." "You finished me?" I said, "I showed you the truth." He said, "Yeah, that's it. Even if I won, I can never break Shabbat again." He stopped. So I said to him, "Okay, now when you Baruch Hashem made tshuva, bring all your friends, all the famous singers in Israel. Next time I come to Israel, bring all of them and make me a lecture." Why? If I'm going to make the 20 top singers in Israel that he works with on a daily basis, if I'll make all of them Shomrei Shabbat, what would happen in Israel? Another 500,000 of their fans will follow them. Teenagers. "Wow! My hero is the Shomer Shabbat. It's in style now. Everybody will become Shomrei Shabbat." You have to aim big. So he told me, "I'll do something even better for you. Let's make a show on television, prime times, the best channel. You and all the singers." They ask, "Mamash, I can debate. Friendly debate." They ask questions. I say, "Okay, very good." I say, "Okay, let me work on it. Let's see what's going to happen. If it will happen on a public, even better. If not, it will happen in a place, in an apartment or a house." But you see how it works? Even famous people, they see the truth, they change. And believe me, this guy has a lot, supposedly, to lose from becoming Shomer Shabbat. No shows on Friday night, no shows on Shabbat, there's big party sometimes. But that's the truth, finished. That's called לא תחניפו את הארץ. That was the 16th crime. 17, לא תקלל חירש. Don't curse a deaf person. That's not literally, even though it's also literally, but that's not all what it means. If a deaf person walk in the street, he doesn't hear anything. You come behind him, Itzik, you call him bad names. He doesn't get offended. He doesn't know what you're saying, Bichlal. You're behind him. He doesn't hear you. You scream in his ear. He doesn't hear. Nobody got offended. But what happened if there's other people around? Wow, it's so funny. They laugh. But he doesn't get offended. What do you care that they laugh? If somebody laughs at Reuven and Reuven has no idea that they're laughing at him in some apartment, did they make a crime or no? Yes, because the Torah is to educate you to be a human being, not an ungrateful clown. That shows you have no Yirat Shamayim. You laugh at him, tomorrow you laugh at him, the next day you laugh at the rabbi. That's what happened with all these clowns. So what does it mean? What does it mean לא תקלל חירש? First, when they say לקלל, doesn't mean to call him some bad word, no. It means to curse with the name of Hashem, official curse, using the name of Hashem. It teach us, if you're not allowed to curse the deaf person, when he doesn't get offended, needless to say, you're not allowed to curse any other person that has feelings. So by cursing him, you're violating another rule of the Torah in a time of anger. Now, so far, 17 crimes. 18th, זכור את אשר עשה השם אלוקיך למרים בדרך בצאתכם ממצרים. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. Miriam spoke about Moshe, together with Aaron, against Moshe. Did she have anything against Moshe? No. Did she love him? Of course. Did she ever say one bad word against Moshe in her life with bad intention? No. What did she say? That Moshe separated from his wife. Why is it? People learn from you, it's your leader. She meant well. 100% she wanted good things to happen. And she was a holy prophet. Holy prophet. And what happened? Hashem came to her and to Aaron and this Miriam and Aaron. We even understand who we're talking here about. And Hashem was upset at them. איך לא יראתם לדבר בעבדי משה? How you're not afraid to talk against my servant Moshe? Meaning that Hashem was extra upset when you speak against my representative Moshe that teach my Torah to the nation. It's not talking against him only. It's talking against me. This is my representative. He teach my Torah. How were you not afraid to talk against him? This is what I said when I replied to what I just started to tell you before. I say, let's say I made a mistake. And let's say I did say what they claim. Let's assume. What about 21 years of good things? Nothing count? What about more than 100,000 people who keep Shabbat, more than 1,000 people who sit and learn Torah all day, more than 30 big rabbis that I picked up from the street 20 years ago, 18 years ago, and they're Rashi Yeshivot today? What about 20 or 30 books that I wrote? What about all the chassadim that happened in the world? A little bit I did for Am Yisrael. So a person made a mistake. Right away you murder him? Nothing count? Baruch Hashem, Hashem is not like that. Imagine if Hashem would be like us. We will be righteous for 70 years and then 1 minute we'll make a mistake and Hashem will destroy us. Imagine how it would be. Do you think one person would make it to Olam Haba? If Hashem would behave like us? None of us will have any future. So what's next? Remember every time you speak Lashon Hara, how you forgot what Hashem did to Miriam. She got Tzara'at, 1 week she was isolated. At least because she was so righteous, everyone agreed to wait for her a week.
Imagine if she was nothing special, they had to move on. She would stay alone without a nation, in the middle of nowhere. There's no GPS. Hello, Moshe, can you tell me coordinations where you are? I'm going to check in my GPS. Who is this? Miriam, your sister, what's going on? Where are you? Okay, go south, make a right, go left. No telephone. Once they're gone, 1 week later, that's it. She will never find where they are. But she was lucky that because of her schud, they all sat and wait for her. It was somebody else. Your problem, we're not going to sit and wait the whole nation for you because you speak Lashon Hara. So we are already in 18th. 19, ve'ahavta lereacha kamocha. Every Jew that keeps mitzvot, you're not allowed to talk against him. If you talk against him, you break ve'ahavta lereacha. What does it mean, reacha? Reacha la'mitzvot. Someone like you that keep Torah and mitzvot. No one is perfect, so don't look for perfect angels. He keeps Shabbat, he eat kosher, he goes with yarmulke and tzitzit, his wife dress modest, that's it, it's religious people. Ve'ahavta lereacha kamocha. You speak one word against them, it's another violation. We're already at 19. Number 20, Betzedek tishpot amitecha. When you hear news about someone, you have the obligation to judge him fairly. And the only way to judge him fairly is to know all the details. And sometimes there's hundreds of details. And most of the time there is no way to find out the details. It's because of that, who gave you permission to express your opinion? How do you express your opinion? You don't have permission to talk. Betzedek tishpot amitecha. Did you bring him for investigation? Did you ask him, prove to me where you were? Maybe as an alibi, he wasn't even there. I give you just one example. In my case, if they only wrote that this video was from a few years ago, not one person would say a word. Everyone that barked because they thought it was for 2 or 3 days ago. Fresh, fresh news. You're talking to me about something that happened 4 or 5 years ago? What's the big deal? You remember now to write. Nobody would care because this is the way the people are. But obviously they didn't want the people to know it's old news. They wanted it to be fresh. One person told me in Florida, I heard that you say this and this this week. I said to him, do you know when I said it? 15 years ago. He said, what? So yeah, 15 years ago I said it. 15 years ago, it was true. That's what happened that day. And it was mitzvah to say it. How come? I thought it's today. I said, the person that told you the bad news wanted you to think it's today. Why? Because if he would tell you it happened 15 years ago, tell them, are you crazy? You're coming to me now to tell me about what happened 15 years ago? No one will take you serious. This is crooks, and this is agenda, this is malicious agenda. Sometimes we fall into this trap, and it's a very serious violation of the Torah. The next one is, וכי ימוך אחיך ומתי ידו עמך, והחזקת בו. It's mitzvah to help every Jew from the nation of Israel to make him stand on his feet, not to collapse. And because right now you spoke bad about him, maybe he needs some kind of help from someone. Maybe he's poor, maybe he's sick, maybe he needs a doctor, maybe he needs a shidduch. He's collapsing mentally, physically, financially. Just what you wrote about him now in the internet, the person that wanted to give him the money changed his mind. The person that wanted to set him up changed his mind. The doctor that wanted to give him a free treatment read this comment and said, you know what, if this is the kind of person he is, I don't want to help him for free. Let him find another doctor. And he died. Now you're guilty of murder. You are 100% a murderer. I'm a murderer? No, I cannot kill a bug. What do you mean a murderer? Remember you made a comment on the Haredi news? Yes. This doctor was supposed to give him a treatment for free because he doesn't have health insurance. And after he read your comment, he changed his mind. And 2 months later, he died. So who is the murderer if not you? What are you going to do now? It's a murder, it's not a joke.
In this world, murder is 30 or 40 years in prison. Sometimes more.
So what are you going to do now?
You're a from Jew. Sometimes you can do it to 50 people with your stupid comments in the internet. How many times I have to tell Jews, stop with your stupid comments? It does not help anything. Because sometimes the person that you write against him right now maybe is really wicked. But every Jew can do tshuva tomorrow. If tomorrow he will do tshuva, your comment will remain forever to destroy him, and he's innocent. And every day he makes another damage to an innocent person that did tshuva. Do you want this in your file? 20 years you're hurting a righteous person that made tshuva? 20 years your comment will continue to stab him everywhere he goes? This is what you really want? How can you do something that you have no more control over it? I always tell people, you're making tattoo, it's one sin from the Torah. It's like eating pork. Once the tattoo is gone, the sin is gone. But how do you want to do something that after that you have no more control over it? You're stuck with this for life. Stuck with this. Everywhere you go, everyone will have to see it. It's not something you go hocus pocus and it's gone. It's a decision for life. By the way, in case you didn't know, to make tattoo, it's one sin from the Torah. To have it, if it's on the open, if it's in a hand or in a neck, places that are always open and people always see it, it's chilul Hashem every minute. And if one day you become religious, becomes even worse. Because from a secular Jew, no one thinks it's something special. They all do, unfortunately, in Israel. Almost all. But if you see someone with a big yarmulke and a nice long beard and he has a tattoo here, I love Rachel. And now he comes to the mikveh Friday. Kavanot Ari. Like this. And all the Hasidic boys look at him. Abba, who is Rachel? No, I love Rachel Imenu. Abba, but I thought his tattoo is not allowed. In the mikveh in Monsi, they have a big sign. Someone with tattoo, please don't come in here. We don't want our children to see it. They have all rights. I built a mikveh to my neighborhood. We donated the money. Now you're going to come with all the things on your back, and the little Hasidic boys will see these things and begin to ask questions. One time I had guests in my house, and one of the guy had the big tattoo here on his shoulder. And in the morning he was getting dressed, the little kid saw it. 5 minutes later he took a marker and started to draw all over his hands. So what are you doing? He said, I want to do like this guy. Already from young age. You understand? So, next one. Ocheach tochiach et amitecha. We are already at 22. Ocheach tochiach et amitecha. As soon as your friend begin to tell you lashon hara, you have an obligation to tell him, shh, be quiet, you're not allowed to talk. No, only one thing. No, I have to say it. I have to get it out of my chest. Go to the bathroom, speak to the wall. Get it out of your chest and then flush. Don't say near me. Don't say near me. Be careful. It's a sin from the Torah. Be careful. You scream. Okay, fanatic, what can I do? Fanatic, what can I do? You're not allowed. Next one, ruvot idbak. Mitzvah to be stuck to Hashem. How you be stuck to Hashem? One is always to admire the Chachamim and to be attached to them as much as you can, to learn from their good deeds. Someone that leaves the Chachamim and become friendly with the clowns, with the wicked people, not only it's a sin to be in touch with these people and exchange messages with them, especially on the public, while you're actually writing things in the internet back and forth with them, you're violating a rule that you have an obligation to be next to the Chachamim. You have to have a rabbi, you have to be near him. Why you are like this now? Because you don't have a rabbi and you're not near him. If you were in yeshiva, you wouldn't write these stupid things on the internet. Because you're not with the Chachamim, this is your end. Look what you write.
and you destroy the world.
ומקדשי תיראו. Fear my temple. Sometimes this gossip is inside the shul. In between one ole to another. Did you see? This guy finally changed his suit. He saw the oraita. See this guy? Look at the show he makes when he davens. Another is saw the oraita. Look at this gabai. He never gives me aliyah. He has something against me. Another is saw the oraita. When did this rabbi change the topic? Another is saw the oraita. In the shul. Without realizing. מפני שיבה תקום והדרת פני זקן. If this person is older than 70, another sin. If he's 69 and 11 months and 29 days. So how many sins you made? All together, you have 7 mitzvot aseh and 17, 24. But if he's older than 70, it became 25 restriction. Because now you violated ve'adarta pnei zaken. Another one, 26. 26 is to him from the Torah for one sentence so far. Vekidashto. If this person is a Kohen, could be his old and a Kohen. 71 years old and Kohen. Another two more violations. You're not allowed to talk against the Kohen. You talk against regular Jew, one sin. You talk against Kohen, two sins. Speak Lashon Hara about Reuven that is not Kohen, one sin. Speak about him too, plus all the others that I mentioned. If it's one of your parents, don't pay attention to my father, he doesn't know what he's doing. Another violation, כבד את אביך ואת אמך. Oh, my mother, she likes to talk, don't pay attention. Another violation, without realizing, the mouth, חיים והמוות ביד הלשון, life and death, is in a, ממש depend on the mouth. Next one, את השם אלוקיך תירא. Fear your God. How do you dare to do things that I'm so upset and angry at? It was 28. 29. ושיננתם לבניך ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך ודרך ושוכבך ובקומך. We say it every day in Shema Israel. We have an obligation to be connected and to learn Torah all the time. Someone that does not take advantage on his time to learn Torah, it's bitul Torah. What does it have to do with Lashon Hara? The reason you speak Lashon Hara now is because you're not connected to the Torah. If you are deeply inside the Torah, believe me, you're not going to have the urge to talk against anyone. Your mind will be somewhere else. Somewhere else. Why? People do stupid things when the mind is empty from wisdom. Once no wisdom goes in, stupid things comes out. Wisdom goes in, nothing stupid comes out. Only smart things. Try it. Go 1 week to yeshiva and learn all week. Take a day off. I mean a week off. Learn all day Gemara and Musar and Halacha. Not one sentence of Lashon Hara you speak. Most likely. Unless you're in a battle of fighting for the wheel or something like that. No, that's a different story. But in general, you're not going to have the urge. People are bored. They have nothing else in their life. That's why they are in the internet all day. Why? How do they have time to make all these comments all the time? What are they doing with their life? I don't have time. Someone opened for me a Twitter account. In less than 2 months, we right away had 10,000 people. Yesterday I found out. I promise you, I didn't know I have 10,000 people on Twitter. I didn't know. Because one time I did not go in yet. I don't even know how to go in. It's my own Twitter account. I don't know how. If you tell me now, how do you go in? I don't know. I have one tzaddik, Rabbi David, he's running it. I have enough from all the messages on the Facebook. 107,000 people on my head, nonstop, believe me. I said to him, no, I don't open Twitter. He said, trust me, you're going to see a lot of new people you're going to get that you can spread Torah over there. I said, but I don't have time. So I'm gonna forward you the question. I said, no, I'm up to here with questions. I can't. I'm booked months in advance. I have people on my head all over. I don't have time to leave. Okay, I'll do everything. If I said to him, if you promise to do everything, I don't want to feel guilty later. Yeah, I'll do everything. 2 months is running it almost. I don't even know how to go in. The Facebook, I told my people in Israel, listen, I cannot take care of it. I don't have time for it. When are we going to have time to learn? When are we going to have time to save our own neshama? I say to them, most of the questions you can answer yourself. It's ordinary questions. Where can we find this? Where is this lecture? Where did the rabbi say this? All kinds of things like this. Only if it's a serious question, forward it. And even with that, I cannot manage. I needed an assistant to help me with the emails. Why? It's up to here. You cannot live like this. How do these people have time all day to sit in the internet and do nothing with their life? So the next thing, after Vishinantam, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, you're not allowed to be near lies. And when a person tells a story with 10 lines, usually there's few lies there. 10 lines, 10 lies. Sometimes one word, 2 lies. Don't ask me how. Everything is possible today. Midvar Sheker Tirchak, even if 99% of his story is real and he changed one tiny detail to make it look worse, right? It was $1,000, he added 1 0. What did I do? 0, it's nothing. It became 10,000. Ah, that's a big thief, not a small one. 10,000 he stole from his friend. Put him on a ban. With 1,000, they wouldn't take actions against him. Listen, return it and we let it go. 10,000? No, you're a big criminal. One tiny change. Right away, changed the entire story. That's Midvar Sheker Tirchak. והלכת בדרכיו. והלכת בדרכיו. What does it mean, והלכת בדרכיו? You have to follow the ways of Hashem and to copy from Hashem how he is, that's how we have to be. And it's all good. He is merciful, you have to be merciful. He is chanun, you have to be chanun. Forgiving, honest, straight, pure, decent, modest, humbled. By speaking and murdering a person online, knew none of the above. You're not merciful, you're not humble, you're not modest, you're not nothing. You're a monster, that's what you are. How do you look at yourself in a mirror when you get up before you go to the davening in Shachrit when 2 hours last night you murder people online with no mercy whatsoever? Where? And again, even if everything you say is the truth. The newspaper reporters have a dream. They live in illusion. They think that by writing on the news the truth about Jews, they are not breaking the law. I have news for them. Every second, every article they ever wrote against a Jew, even if this Jew committed a crime, even if everything they say in the article was 100% true, even though it's very rare, they already have how many sins? 30 restrictions from the Torah. Take off the Kohen and the parents and the old man, 27. Because maybe he was a young man, maybe he wasn't a Kohen, 27. 27 murders, each one by itself. That Bet HaMikdash was destroyed for it. There are also 4 curses in the Torah for someone that speaks Lashon Hara. 4 times it says Arur. When Hashem cursed the snake and gave him his punishment, what was the curse? Arur. Arur. Arur means curse. You be chas v'shalom cursed. You want to get it on yourself. You want to have your family chas v'shalom that their father is cursed or the mother is cursed. This is an example of how we, the frum people, the religious people, are so far away from being righteous. And the sad news is, who here tonight, please raise your hand, don't be embarrassed. Who here tonight, before I started my lecture, knew everything I said here tonight? Everything? Anyone? That's good, that's what I thought. That's normal, because almost nobody knows it. And believe me, there's few Talmidei Chachamim here that learns a lot of Torah in their life. Even people that learn Gemara 10, 15, 20 years, they don't know these things.
promise you, I know, I come from the olam of the yeshivot.
I know what we know, what we don't know. We don't know these things. As soon as one day you leave the yeshiva and you become a businessman and now you have a little bit more extra time and you go on the internet to read the news, that's where your distractions begin. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. And some people, they mean well. They go to come in to save the rabbi, which is mitzvah. They want to protect his reputation. But the problem is that even to enter this place is not permitted. Someone insulting a rabbi, they grabbed him inside a horrible place with non-modest women. And you want to go in inside and protest, you're allowed to go in? When all the naked women are around? They grabbed him. This Arab grabbed him in and is hitting him inside. Assuming there's no pikuach nefesh. They're not going to kill him. You're allowed to go in? It's a problem. You're not allowed to look. Gadol ha-machtiyo yoter min ha-orgo. Who has permission to look at things? One bad look stays with you for all your reincarnations. If you hypnotize a person now, you're going to be able to get out of his subconscious every image he ever saw in every one of his lifetimes in the past. In his reincarnations. Everything. When he was in Paris, when he was in Baghdad, when he lived in Moscow 500 years ago. Everything is registered forever. He cannot delete it from the soul. Even if this person became a very big rabbi. Very big rabbi. One time, 2-3 months ago in my Facebook, I posted a video of an Israeli autistic kid. I don't know, maybe 19, 20 years old. And he was born with a twin sister, together. In the video, which we make English subtitle to it, there's one rabbi over there, I don't know who he is, and he asks the autistic kids questions, and the autistic kids type on a computer, and you look at the screen, the camera shows what he types. You cannot fake it. It's not a normal person. He cannot talk, he doesn't understand. So you ask him, tell me, why you are like this? Why are you born like this? He was born with a normal twin sister, she's okay, and he's like this, brain damage. He types, you can go on my Facebook page, you can search for it in the videos, in a section of the videos, look for it. He types, I did bad things in my previous life, you see on the screen. In Hebrew, and Hashem reincarnated me like this because of what I did. He asked him, the rabbi, what bad things you did? He said, I spoke things in my previous life that I was not allowed to speak. And the rabbi asked him, what things you spoke? And he said, I spoke bad about people. And because of that, I came back to the world measure for measure. Mute. All these issues, brain damage, mida keneged mida. How many years I scream about it? Where is your source? People that never read one page in their life, not Gemara, not Shulchan, they don't know how to even to read Hebrew, basically. They type. He makes up things. Where is your source? Every fool that read one time in his life Shara Gilgulim of the Ari HaKadosh will see what does it mean, reincarnations. It's a whole book about it. How people are reincarnated in raw material, in animals, in retarded people, in all kinds of things like this. In plants. But where is your source that we are punished for our previous life sins? That's another question. The Gemara is full of it. What do you mean, where is your source? People are so ignorant. They don't have zero knowledge, 0% knowledge they don't even have. Not 1%, 0% they don't even have. Knowledge of the Torah, they never read one time in their life sugya, and they give speeches against rabbis. And they have the keyboard, murderers with keyboards. They hide with false identity usually. Very rarely you're going to find their real face and their real name. They all have fake names. Where is your source? Everywhere in the Gemara. All the punishments of Hashem is Mida keneged Mida. There's no random punishments. No coincidental punishments. You speak bad, your mouth get hurt. You hear bad, your ears get hurt. You run to places you're not supposed to run, your legs get hurt. You eat things that are not kosher, your stomach get hurt. Maybe in the next life, maybe two lives after. Everything is calculated in a computer of Hashem, whether you like it or not. Who cares that people scream? They don't know anything from their life, or they read once in their Torah. Why all the people that screams are wicked and liars and anti-Torah? Why is it? Why they scream? The reason is because when you tell them the truth about themselves, they are so panicking from their subconscious. Whoa, if he's right, I'm finished. So they must do everything they can to put you down, to mute you, that they can relax their conscience, that they don't have to suffer. Because if he's right, I am the one that writes all day and destroying people. I am the one that's going to come back like this kid. I don't want to even hear about it. You're crazy, you're a liar, you're making it up. That's what it is. Do you think that by hiding behind harsh words and curses and lies and fake stories and editing videos, do you think it's going to change your fate? It's only going to make it a million times worse. I know I spoke to you here tonight a very hard Musar talk. And I know maybe there are some people in this room that are not in a level to hear such a level. Maybe. Sometimes a person is not in a level to hear the truth. He can hear a part of it, not all of it. Even doctors, they know what patient you can tell them the whole story and what patients you have to hide from them. They know. They know them for years. This patient is strong. He will win. I was now in Herzliya Pituach in Israel. I spoke in the house of a very famous businessman. And he's sick with cancer, poor guy. He's a very good person. He's sick. He has lung cancer, even though he never smoked one cigarette in his life. Lung cancer, yes. He had it once, and he won. He came out of it. Now he got it again, but he has such emunah, and he gives a lot of tzedakah. So the doctors in Israel say to his nephew, your uncle, it's a rare case. He can win the disease. But he's out of the statistic. We don't look at him as a part of statistics. He did it once, he can do it again. Because he's so strong in his connection with Hashem and his emunah, that's alone 50% of a remedy. Recovery. It's all mentally. If a person gives up naturally, that's it. He surrenders to the disease. It's hard to understand how it works, but the body is strong or weak according to the mind. The mind overcomes the body. If a person got bad news, all his energy is gone in a minute. Even if he slept 10 hours now. Supposed to be fresh. But he just got bad news, he feels he cannot get up from the chair. He got great news, he jumped like a tiger. He's 8 years old. You have to see him how he runs on the stairs. That's the mind of a person. It's all mental. Mentally, people have vibrations, panic attack, shortage of breath. This is all physical symptoms. What triggers that? The mind. All the mind. How people get heart attack when they get bad news? What the heart has to do with bad news? Heart is a physical machine. What's bad news has to do with a heart attack? That's physical and that's spiritual. What's the connection? Of course, when the mind was attacked, the body collapsed. That's how it is. So therefore, we have to understand. Maybe now, right now, you're not in the level to understand. If you got half of what I say, it's also good. This lecture wasn't only for the people here tonight. None of the lecture is only for the people that comes tonight. If any, it's more for the people, the many tens of thousands of people that will watch it later on. People that organize Torah lectures, they're very lucky people. We are not perfect. None of us is perfect. No, let's not kid ourselves, right? But there is a way. It's like, you know, when you play Monopoly with the kids, there is get out of jail free card. Right? You keep it for the time of trouble. Eventually, we will face jail in Olam Haba. When we stand in front of Hashem, we will face specific punishments for things that we did wrong. What will be the get out of the punishment card for us? Zikui Arabim. Publishing Torah, spreading the truth, warning people from what they're doing because it will bring to their destruction. It's not an easy job. And the more successful you are, the more enemies you're going to have. The Rambam, the greatest posek in the last 1,000 years, they burned his books. They threw bathroom in his face. He had many, many problems. Ramchal, we cannot move an inch without his books. Ramchal, Derech Hashem, Mesilat Yesharim. He basically designed Judaism for us. Without him, what we know about Musa? Without Mesilat Yesharim. Path to the Just. I brought you free CDs, Path to the Just. Life-changing CDs. Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato. 38 years of life. 38 years of suffering, embarrassment, bans, fights. By whom? Big rabbis fought him. They couldn't tolerate that the kid, 20 years old, already had discoveries from angels that they didn't have. They called him, they made him sign, they gave him warnings, they chased him, he had to run from place to another. Moshe Rabbeinu, same thing. Korach and Adato. Poor Moshe gives his life for the nation of Israel, they spit in his face. And in the end, when he complained, he got punished. That's really what happened. Shimon Amorim, I'm tired of you. I'm grateful people. What? Got extra punishment. Why? In his level, he wasn't supposed to talk. The list is very long. When you see the Satan is triggering you, it's a good sign. It's painful, but it's a very good sign. If the Satan never attacks a rabbi, he should not be able to sleep at night if he's smart. What am I doing wrong? For 20 years I teach the Satan never attacks me. Business is booming, money comes in, not one person ever fought me, nobody writes against me. Something is not right here. Too good to be true. Chacham Ovadia Yosef, the leader of the Sephardi world for the last 50 years, what he did for the Sephardics in the world, perhaps no one in history did. Revolution. Spread Torah all over. His books are everywhere. He was actually the follow-up of all the Baalei Tshuva we made. Where did they go to learn what to do? It was all him. He's a tycoon in religion, tycoon. Once in a blue moon you have someone like that. Ashkenazim had few, Baruch Hashem. By the Sfaradim, you have Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, he had him, he had also few, but he was the main one, because he dealt with the nation. The other Chachamim, they were mamash in the world of Torah. The rest of the nation didn't know who they are. But he was mamash, a national leader. Prime Minister were coming on a weekly basis to him to ask him what to do, what to say. It was a known thing. Read some of the books that they write today, what used to be. One time he says something about the Holocaust. He didn't know that Holocaust is something you never speak about. Even if it's logical, even if it's true what you say, people cannot think with their mind, they think with their heart. He said something against the Holocaust. For 1 week, the Israeli television stations and the newspaper butchered him around the clock for 1 week, non-stop. You had to see what they did. Non-stop news, and another show, and another one, and a puppet show, and then a newspaper. Everywhere you go, constantly, investigate, arrest him. This, non-stop demonstration by the house. What was he doing? The regular look. The world is on fire. Doesn't care. I'm a servant of Hashem. But I came to gain popularity here. I came here for people to kiss my hand, to like what I say. I'm clean with you, Baruch Hashem. The rest is not my problem. That's it. That's the only way to stay normal. If you get into that politics, you're done. If you let it get into your head, you're done. You have to have strong emunah. Everything in the end turns for the good. Always, always turn for the good. Just when you think it's something bad happening to you, think again. You will see that it's all for the good. One way, sometimes through negative attention, you become famous all over the world, and now people turn into positive. They start with enemy, and they started to listen a little bit and say, you know what, it's not so bad after all. I feel that it's inspiring me. I'm talking from experience. It happens a lot. On the other hand, if in the end you don't see any good in it, only headache and suffering, good, suffering is cleaning. Cleaning all the souls. Do you know what it means? That a person is not guilty, is innocent about something, and 1,000 people constantly tell lies about him, one day, another day, for 20, 30, 40 years, he has extra credit in his account. He said, can I use all my suffering to save my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, and my 5 sons? Well, you gain a lot of mileage. You can buy tickets for others, why? You got more suffering than what you need to clean all your sins. Sometimes. Because the suffering, the Torah says, Et asher yoav Hashem yayaso. Someone that Hashem loves, he gives him extra suffering. So even if you don't see results here, for sure it will help you there. Ma'it onen adam chai. That's what Chazal say. Bilam gave advice to Paro to kill the Jewish babies. What was his punishment? A sword to the heart. Boom. That's it. 10 seconds suffering. For all the Jewish babies that died. How long Bilam got? Finished. Fell and died. Eov was silent. Yitro said, no, no, don't do it. Baruch Hashem became the father-in-law of Moshe. Eov didn't say yes. He was politically correct. I don't want to upset the wicked. I don't want to upset the righteous. I'm quiet. But the Torah didn't say to be quiet. The Torah said to say the truth. No, no, I don't want to have problems. You know, these people donate money to the shul. I don't want to upset them. So what happened to Yov? The worst suffering you can imagine. The worst. So Chachamim asked, I don't get it. After all, who committed a bigger crime? Bilam or Yov? Bilam, of course, by far. He said, kill the babies. So Bilam got 10 seconds of suffering, and Yov got so many years of suffering. His children died. He lost all his money, sicknesses, one problem after the other. The biggest suffering. The answer of Chachamim is, no matter what suffering you get in all your life, you're alive? Say, thank you, Hashem, I'm alive. Ma'itonen Adam Chai. You're alive and you complain? It's unheard of. It's unheard of. How can you even complain? You're alive. What do you mean I'm alive? A dog is also alive. And have better life than me. How can I not complain? You don't get it. If you're alive and you keep Torah and mitzvot, no matter how much you suffer, you're the happiest person on earth. Later on, you're going to see the results of this suffering. So what do you complain? Bilam didn't get suffering to cleanse his sins. Where is he now? He has no shirt to the world to come. Gemara in Sanhedrin. The 10 seconds of suffering with stabbing him, that's not even the punishment. The punishment begins later, as we know that Unculus made a seance. He called through 3 wicked people. First one he called is Bilam. What punishment you got? I don't even want to say what. The worst you can imagine. Same thing, Titus, his uncle. And then he called JC. JC, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Unculus. I want to convert. What's your suggestion? JC told him, to be honest with you, you should convert. Be a Jew, be a good Jew, stick to the nation of Israel, be a part of them. So he said to JC, what punishment you got?
And he told them, they put me in the worst place you can imagine, in a special pool, but it doesn't have water in it. So he said to him, why? And he answered, because I made fun at the Chachamim. And believe me, I promise you, if you read the New Testament, based on that, he contradicted the Chachamim, but fun he never made. You know, I argue with some Christians sometimes. Fun he did not make at the Chachamim. Maybe he contradicted them here and there. But on the other hand, he wrote, everybody must listen to Chazal, to the Chachamim, to the sages. Because they sit on the chair of Moshe. And they are the ones who are authorized to transfer the Torah. So he also said good things about the Chachamim. But he contradicted some of the Chachamim. If he lived in our generation, maybe some of the rabbis would put him to sit in the Mizrach. Do you know how much Torah he knew? Much more than us. He was learning by Rav Yoshua ben Parchia. He was learning by Tana. His Rebbe was a Tana. We didn't learn by Tanaim. I promise you, you know enough Torah to be able to give us a nice speech here tonight. And what was his end? They say you disrespected the rabbi. You distant to eternal suffering. What will be the end of all these people who write against kosher rabbis in the internet? Think about it. If JC, who never ever made fun of them, he only contradicted them on some laws, that's it. But he wrote to respect them, it's written in his name. And what happened in the end? Read in the Gemara, what was his end? Imagine Jews that do it, the mission of their life. Opening pages, ban this rabbi, ban him. You understand? This is a message for all of us. Everybody has to hear and listen and learn not to do these mistakes. If you see another Jew just did something that according to the Torah will destroy him for eternity, make sure you don't repeat the same mistake. Learn from another person's mistake not to die like him. Learn from him not to eat that poison. Because he ate and he's gone. Why are you trying it yourself? Learn from the drug addict not to touch drugs. Learn from all the crook who steal from the government when they end up 20 years in prison. Learn from them not to be like them. And learn from the Mechalelei Shabbat, and learn from the non-modest women, and learn, and learn, and learn. Learn from the losers not to be like them. Don't be like them and try it on yourself and then say, oh, I wish I would learn otherwise. No. And I hope, I really hope that my words will go mainly to all the naive Jews that don't mean bad. Those who mean bad, they'll get what they deserve. We should not have any mercy on them. But there are many who are foolishly, naively, they fall into the trap. Korach convinced 250 to come with him with his smooth talking. Do you know how much they killed themselves until today? Why did I listen to him? How could I be such a fool? I heard Hashem nominate Moshe to be the leader. How did this speaker fool me, Korach? How some of his comments made me think that maybe he's right? How did I make such a mistake? Technically, who could believe such a thing? That people that heard Hashem speaking to Moshe and making him the leader, they went with Korach against him. How to believe? This is what I'm asking. There is one wicked, call himself a rabbi, he cannot even be a reform rabbi, that he writes a lot of petition against me in the internet all the time. He joined with the gay and the lesbian and all the Mechalelei Shabbat and the reform people and former Orthodox people that hate religion. He formed with them together to start all kinds of petitions. So the new petition is, they want to ban me from a website I started. Did you hear that? Yeah, there is no limit to the irony, how ridiculous these people are. There's no end to it. Tomorrow they're going to send me a letter, you banned from your own website.
And then maybe you give us, you turn the 107,000 people you have, give it to them because you have no permission to go into your own Facebook page. And maybe they ban me from my own apartment. What else is new by these wicked people? So he's joining the most wicked people on earth. He's leading them, directing them how to fight someone that he knows that makes thousands of people religious every month all over the world. How doesn't he see what's going to be his end? Did you ever think how it's possible? Let's say you don't like him. Let's say he offended you. Let's say he spoke against you. Let's say he really made comments that are horrible. Everything you say is true. Let's say. You're not afraid of your end? After all, he saved the children of God, the children of Hashem. The children of the king are drowning and he saved them, but he's a nasty person. A nasty person saved the children of the king that were drowning in a lake and saved their life. And the king came and kissed him on his head. He's nasty, but he saved his child. Would you dare go and give him a punch in front of the king? Huh? You tell me. Would you have the guts in front of the king? You give him a punch. The king say, why you just hit him? Because he's nasty. I don't like what he say. I don't like how he dress. What would be your end if the king saw you just punch someone who saved his children? What's going to be your end? I say, how can you be so stupid? The people that joined Korach, what did they gain from this? What happened with them? They drowned with him for eternity. They lost everything. This is people that should have been in heaven forever. And in 1 minute, they lost everything. Forever, that's it. 1 minute. But 40, 50 years, they were good. And 1 minute, Hashem wiped them out. And that's what will happen to all these wicked people. When Mashiach come, they'll feel what they did. And Hashem will show them the destructions that they made in the world. There's one thing of being secular. There's one thing of being a Reformed Jew. There's one thing of being a conservative Jew. There's one thing of being a hater of rabbis. There's one thing of being a hater of Hashem. But there's a whole different thing of influencing other people to do the same like you. You bad? Stay bad yourself. Don't run to thousands of others with your stupid comments and drag them with you like Korach did. Because every one of them who joined you just doubled and tripled and 105,000 times made your punishment much, much, much worse. That's called Machti Arabim. And even if one day you want to do tshuva, there's no chance. How are you going to do tshuva when thousands of your people continue to destroy the world? That's why we got to be very careful. I hope that everyone will listen to this lecture and will finish right here. And if you have questions, maybe. Never to comment on any website. Never, ever. It's ממש יערק ולא יעבור. Even if you comment good, there are people who will hate you now because of what you say about something, somebody that they hate, and you make them make the sin of לא תשנא את אחיך בלבבך. That's already a problem. Even if you try to do good, don't comment anything. And second, don't go into religious news website. They're all non-kosher. All of them with no exception. There is not one kosher Jewish news website. None. You're going in, you're done. Don't say nobody warned me. I didn't know. You're going in, it's just a matter of an hour or two until you begin to read murders against people, and some of these people are very kosher. And then you're going to have a very, very, very serious problem. And then you're going to regret the moment. For 1 hour, I'm going to lose everything. And don't think that it's not possible in 1 hour to lose your eternity. Because history showed thousands of people lost their eternity in a minute, not in an hour. One of them was Yerovam ben Nevat. For years, he made everyone bow down to his idols because of his ego. But in the end, because he was such a giant chacham and he knew so much Torah, Hashem gave him respect. And he came and he gave him an opportunity of a lifetime. He say, admit now that you were wrong. Make repentance now. I will wipe out all the idol worshipings that you made thousands of people do. For your honor of your Torah. make tshuva, and you and me and King David will walk together in heaven. And he said to Hashem, who's going to be higher, me or him? Who's first? Hashem said, he will be higher. Not interested, thank you. You see ego? Hashem. Not Baba Sali promised him. Baba Sali, you may say, he doesn't have emunat chachamim. That's why he didn't agree. Hashem is telling you, make tshuva, you're going to heaven. Make tshuva, put your ego down, apologize. I'll die, and I won't apologize. We have one example in Israel of someone like that. How many warnings he got from Big Rab? Continue until Hashem Yirachem. That's it. We have to learn, Rabotai, I'm telling you, it's fragile. It's not only evil people fall into these traps. I'll finish with one story. This week, one person wrote to me a text at 1 a.m. 1 a.m. He wrote to me, you are a disgrace to the Jewish nation. How did you dare to say that less than 6 million Jewish souls were murdered? He doesn't know the details. He reads in one of these lies that he reads. So I answered him, first of all, everything you said that I said, it's not true. None of it is true. If you listen to the whole lecture, you see that none of it really happened. But even if it was true, and let's say it was true, before you wrote me this email, did you think that maybe by writing this you will lose your eternity? So he answered me, why would I lose my eternity? Because I told you that you did something wrong? I said, no. Maybe you're right about it. Maybe I did something wrong. But the way you talk to me and curse me like this, with disrespect, did you read the Gemara, what's going to be the punishment of someone like you? Did you ever think who you're talking to? Maybe how much you got Hashem upset right now? After all, I ask him, did I make few Jews come from the garbage into the world of Torah and save them, the children of Hashem? Maybe you just put yourself in a very serious problem. So he right away changed his tone. All of a sudden, from attacker, he became a defender. So then he said to me, you're right. I should have thought about it before. I don't know why I did it. Please be mochel me. Forgive me. I answer him, I won't forgive you. You're going to stay with this problem for the rest of your life until you be destroyed. So you had to see his comment. Please, I'm begging you. I promise I will never ever do it again. So I waited 2 minutes. I promise you it was the longest 2 minutes of his life. And I wanted him to realize how a person can really lose everything in a minute. And then I wrote back to him and I said, I'm forgiving you 100% because I see that you have Yirat Shamayim. I saw that he has Yirat Shamayim. It was just stupidity of a moment. Stupidity of a moment. That's enough. That's it. Don't have to be evil. And I said, Mochel, you said, thank you. I have such a relief. I said, but make sure you never ever dare to talk to people that did some things for the nation of Israel. Don't take the risk. Even to ordinary person, do you know what is chut? Maybe he's sponsoring all yeshiva. Maybe he's a very important person with his jeans and his little yarmulke with his jeans. Maybe his count very important in Shamayim. How do you know? How do you know what he does? Do you know, you see a doctor, he's very modern. He's not Haredi. Why should I give him respect? He's very modern. I don't like people like this. How do you know maybe this doctor take care of Bachurei Yeshiva already 30 years for free? I know a few doctors like this. I have a dentist. Everyone from the Yeshiva who needs treatment on me for free. But he doesn't just do cleaning and filling because that's what's necessary right now and go. Everything he'll do. He check, x-ray, you have another feeling. No, but it hurts only here, doctor. No. But in 2 months you're going to have root canal over there. He has customers that paying, waiting outside 3 hours. 3 guys from the yeshiva just walked in. You know who I'm talking about or no? Dr. Cohen in Queens, Union Turnpike in 167th Street. He need a dentist, go to it. Tzadik. 10 people waiting outside. Each one is $500, $200, $300, $1,000, you know. Dentist, it's expensive. I'll lose $2,000. But I'll take care of this tzaddik that learns Torah. 3 hours. 3 hours. It was unexpected visit. On the phone they say, I need a feeling. How long a feeling takes? 20 minutes? But when he came, he said, no, you have tar, and you need cleaning, and you need this, and you bachur yeshiva, you're not going to come again from Monsi. Let them wait. Talmid yeshiva came as a representative of Hashem. This is a kosher Jew. You understand? And this is what we have to learn from ordinary people. Not a rabbi, nothing. It's not Chacham Ovadia, yeah? Aval, a heart of a Jew. Respect Torah, respect learners of Torah. And we're not rabbis, this bachur yeshiva. Maybe 2 months in yeshiva, 3 months, 1 year. Treat them like kings. Why? Bachur yeshiva. Someone who learns Torah, someone who teaches Torah. Not talking someone rotten who destroys the world with his mouth and does horrible things. No. Someone who does good. How are you not afraid to attack him? On the open, such a chibur Hashem. And even again, for the 10th time tonight, even if you're right 1,000% in your claims, why the whole world has to read about it? Why can you not come to him quietly? Rabbi, can we talk 2 minutes? I'm very upset with you. This is what you did. This is what you said. I'm a Holocaust survivor, or my parents were murdered in Treblinka, or whatever. You hurt me very much. Let him explain at least. Hide away, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Curses, wishing death, all these things. Not only they got offended, now they lost their Olam Haba. What's the point? People have to learn how to respond. People have to learn how to talk. People have to learn that there is a lot to lose by riding bad things. A lot to lose. You lose! Not him. He made a mistake, he's going to pay what he made a mistake. But you fall into the fire with him. If you wouldn't answer, he will pay what he deserves and you would get saved. Now you answer, you fall with him. Not only you got insulted because you answered back, you fell down with him. You lost from both sides. You understand? Any questions before we finish? Everyone is in shock, like I expected it to be, except one, yes? It's going to be on, if they won't ban me. But it will be on my website, divineinformation.com. Divineinformation. Yes?
Is there any permission to say something bad? If someone doesn't keep Shabbat, can you say something about that?
The halacha is, if someone doesn't keep Shabbat, doesn't keep mitzvot, you're allowed. But I tell you, it's not recommended. I tell you why. Because tomorrow is going to become Shomer Shabbat, and he's going to become tzaddik, and what you say bad about him will continue to travel in the world, and you have no more control. Better to get used to not to say bad about anyone. That's it. And even when you say, don't say name. Believe me, you know what the Yetzer Hara I have to say about the name of this rotten one that called himself rabbi? For me, he's the biggest monster on earth. There's no bigger rasha than him. You understand? But I don't say names. You know why? Even though the chance that someone like this will do tshuva is very, very small, I'm afraid. Maybe in 5 years he's going to do tshuva and my words will be online. And then I will lose my Olam Haba. Understand? Because then I'm going to make a righteous person a damage. I don't want to, I like myself. I don't want to get destroyed. Understand? You have to calculate. More questions? Yes?
Just to get things clear. So the comments with a million... The rabbi didn't mean to say it because the information was wrong. So it was the million part was a mistake.
The million part for sure didn't happen, and probably even the 3 million. I say clearly in that lecture, you know, when you say something and you say maybe, I don't know, no one will know, the language is very clear. You're not coming here to teach. You're not a professor that say teach math. That it has to be precise. When you say you don't know, you did not say any statement. If somebody asks you, say, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. Even though it's stupid, maybe what you say, it's an exaggeration. But nobody can come and say, this is what you say that happened. No, I say maybe. Everybody understand language, right? There's a difference when you say maybe, and you say, would you come? Maybe I will. For sure I will. There's a difference. Ah, you say you come. We counted on you. Maybe I will. Nobody counts on you. Understand? Obviously, after I check the statistic, you have to understand it's different statistic. Different. One place it said that in Germany it had 44% intermarriage 10 years before the Holocaust. And another source it said 80%. Which one of them is right? It's another question. It's double. One claim 80, one claim 44. Go and know who is right now. You understand? I was assuming based on 150 years of assimilation, of intermarriage. The only detail I didn't know is that all this assimilation was all over Europe, except Eastern Europe. I didn't know that in Poland, even those who wanted to marry Goyim, the Goyim did not accept them. Because the Polish were such anti-Semites that they did not agree to marry any secular Jew. That part I didn't know. And after Rabbi Hoffman from the article contacted me and showed me some statistic, I realized that my assumptions were incorrect. And therefore, I felt the urge to apologize. I would apologize anyway, because once you hear that some people got offended, even though they didn't understand what you say, first apologize. That's the right thing to do. What is this? We're going to argue about ego? Who deserves an apology? I apologize, no problem. What's the problem to apologize? If people got offended, right away I apologize 10 times in front of a camera. Of course, it wasn't my intention, so I don't want anyone to be upset for nothing. The numbers were inaccurate. According to him, about 500,000 were also not only non-Jewish, according to him. Maybe he's right, maybe not, but for sure it was 1 million and not 3 million. But the one thing does remain, that in the United States today and the rest of the world, the majority of the Jews, the vast majority of the Jews, marry non-Jews. That's a tragedy. And how many times do you hear it on those websites? I don't remember that they made a whole special week just to talk about that, to bring it to the attention of the Jews that are actually destroying themselves and destroying our nation. You understand? Who talks about this? It should have been demonstration and all over the world, meetings, how to stop it. It's a secular issue also, not only a religious issue. It's a secular issue. The Jewish nation will vanish. At one point, we reached a level that we are only 500,000 Jews in the world. Do you know that? In the whole world. I saw the statistic in the last 2,000 years. There was one generation, there were only 500,000 Jews. Before the Holocaust, there were 18 million Jews who dropped right away by a third. You understand? We worry about Hamas, Hezbollah, all kinds of attacks, atomic bomb by Iran, Gog and Magog. It's all very scary. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I made movies about it. It's all over the media. But there is the biggest problem. Intermarriage, the biggest problem. And not only most of the rabbis do not do anything about it, some of them accept it. Nothing. A guy comes, he violates the rules, he brings a non-Jewish woman, she sits in the shul. Everything is normal. They sit, Passover, Pesach. It's not chas v'shalom that we are racist, that we don't like the Gentiles, or we don't want to accept them. If it was up to us, we would accept them openly. Welcome, John. Welcome, Chris. Welcome, Muhammad. But I'm not the master of the universe. We have a book from Hashem, right? It's nothing to do with racism. I once said, if the Gentile is the most righteous Gentile in history, and the Jew is the dirtiest, the biggest lowlife in history, and they want to get married, it's a violation of the Jew to marry him. Even though Hashem loved the Gentile million times more than this Jew that makes all the crimes in the world, and the Gentile is righteous and holy according to Hashem, and keep the seven laws, and love Hashem, and doesn't worship any idol, and the Jew does all the violations you can think of, the Jew is not allowed to marry him. It's nothing to do with who is better. That's what a lot of these Jews don't get. The Torah is not racist. The Torah didn't say don't marry them because they're bad. There's different reasons for it. Believe me, there's many, many reasons why Hashem did it. Some of them are idol worshippers. Yes, they're bad, fine. But not every Gentile is an idol worshipper. Some of them are Hasidei Umot Olam. Schindler, that saved thousands of Jews in the Holocaust. Would we allow to give him a woman, a Jewish woman, to marry him, even she was the worst woman in a community? Nobody wants to marry her. She's not so righteous, she's not keeping mitzvot, not Mades, not Shabbat, no, nothing. Oscar Schindler, come. We have a shidduch for you. As appreciation for saving thousands of Jews. Take this woman and marry her, and all the, we're all going to clap for you, and Baruch Hashem, come for the wedding as appreciation. Appreciation is very important in the Torah. Gratitude. We don't have permission. Take $1 billion, but we cannot give you this. But nobody would marry her anyway. Nobody wants her. She will die lonely. I'm not God. I am not God. I didn't write his rules. Whether I like it or not, that's a separate issue. Whether all the Jews in the world like the fact that they're not allowed, it's not relevant. If we tolerate it, we accept it, we will get destroyed for sure.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Read in the Zohar what happened. The Zohar explained. Because it was a jeopardy for the whole Jewish nation. Sometimes, if millions of Jews would die, then it's permitted. Permitted. Yes. Yes. Shh. Yeah, yeah.
First of all, I loved what you said about the Holocaust on YouTube, and I want to know, it stops in the middle, and then there's no audio. So I want that, I hope that they fix that. And also, Hitler didn't care if you were a 16th of a Jew.
Right, I know. I said.
Not different than you're not.
I said.
He didn't care.
I said 100%. They killed quarter Jew. They killed half a Jew. They killed everyone.
He didn't care where you died. And you were going in the
earth. And that's why my assumption was that many of them, but the Poland issue, that was the one that confused me. If I knew that in Poland was a whole different story and 3 million Jews in Poland were killed, then it changed all the statistic. They had intermarriage, I know they had, but not in such numbers, like 80 or 70 or 60%, they didn't have. Okay, I want to thank Yaakov very much for organizing it. Rav Yaakov, thank you very much for coming. We'll meet in 1 month. Thank you very much.